You are listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. It's one daily news story well told. I'm your host, Jeff Struss. And if you need a laugh, you're going to want to stick around. Today, we have Kristen Weber with us, and she's going to be speaking about her new book, Adulting for Jesus, a book about purpose, trusting God, and obviously, burritos. Kristen is a comedian. She is an author. She's written three books for teen girls, and you are going to enjoy hearing from Kristen. So my interview with Kristen right after this.
Have you heard about Liberty University's one-of-a-kind scholarship? Students from families that typically make $35,000 to $95,000 annually probably won't qualify for the federal Pell Grant, which provides vital funds for college. Our Middle America Scholarship, when combined with the Liberty Champion Award, will match the Pell Grant, a value of over $20,000 in 4 years. Want to know more? Text MAS to 49596 for more information. Again, that's MAS to 49596.
Well, Kristen Weber has a clean, sharp, and occasionally alternative approach to comedy, which has brought her all across the United States and Canada, where she's performed at conferences, churches, and popular clubs, on cruise ships, and more. She's worked with comics such as Tim Hawkins, Michael Jr., and Ken Davis, and has headlined numerous events, including The Circuit, a week-long comedy tour in Toronto, Canada. Most recently, Kristen opened for The Mike Huckabee Show at TBN Studios, and she is currently on tour with Aspire Women's Conferences, a one-night conference of women held at churches all across the United States. She's written three books for teen girls, and her newest book is called Adulting for Jesus, a book about purpose, trusting God, and obviously, burritos. Kristen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me on, Jeff.
It's a pleasure, and so glad that it could fit in your schedule. And I'm looking forward to sharing your humor with our podcast audience. So you are a comedian. We interview authors and speakers, but you know, comedians are a special breed. So we got to hear the backstory. How in the world did you find yourself in the space as a Christian comedian?
I don't know that I set out to be a comedian, and I started off wanting to write for sitcoms or write for Saturday Night Live, and I started out writing jokes that I could potentially use for that, and then he said, hey, a really good way to test out material is by doing stand-up comedy. So I started off by just going to different clubs. I was living in Los Angeles at the time, or as my parents called it, the Devil's Playground. And I would just go to these open mics or these smaller shows just to try out the material. And then through that, started to get to know other comics. And then I met a couple of comedians who were like, hey, we do comedy in churches. Do you want to come open for us? And I was like, you can do comedy in churches without getting struck by lightning? Like, that's
right.
A thing? And this was when kind of Tim Hawkins was just starting to take off and like the Christian comedy world was growing. So it was this new world where I was like, oh, okay, there's an audience that wants to hear comedy, but without all the filth and crudeness that often comes along with comedy if you go to a comedy club. And so it's just been stepping through the next door. I didn't have a plan. I'm really very much a nobody, which I was reminded of. I am finally getting back on the road this weekend and with the Aspire Women's Conferences, and somebody at a little Q&A we did, they were like, now who are you? Which is always what you love to hear as a comedian. But I did get a call to, this is how I like to describe where I am in my career now. I got a call from somebody who was like, hey, we're doing this event. We really wanted this comic. They just went on and on about this other comic, and I knew who they were, and they're a great comic. And they said, but they're outside our budget, and someone said you would be a better alternative.
There you go.
And so my business slogan, right?
Right. Incredibly flattering. That's the way you want to get introduced. Well, you know, your book is targeting millennials. You're a millennial, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you're a millennial, which, you know, I'm sure you hit on in your book. You know, there's a lot of, I guess, accusations lobbed against millennials about being thin-skinned, being snowflakes. We can talk about the legitimacy of any of those, but you cannot be a snowflake and be a stand-up comedian because you are just all out there ready for criticism. I mean, how do those two things reconcile in your mind?
I think you have to be able to differentiate between professional you and personal you. And I think this is applicable not even just in comedy, but I have to be able to separate, okay, somebody didn't like that joke, and my jokes are personal, they're about me. Yeah. I have to be able to separate, okay, they didn't like that joke, that is the business side of me. I still need to somehow be able to live my life. And that's hard because a lot of the feedback is personal. I play the accordion, which is probably one of the more offensive instruments out there. And it's also the reason I'm still single and can travel all over all the time because I'm not tied down right now. But I think you have to steal words from a pastor that I actually use this quote in my book, you have to have thick skin and a tender heart. Uh-huh. So you have to be able to understand that, especially with comedy, because comedy by nature is kind of poking and prodding what people hold dear. And hopefully in a way that makes them laugh and makes them kind of take things lightly. But sometimes you hit a nerve. And so you have to be able to say, okay, is my joke really mean and offensive and terrible and going to ruin society as we know it? Or did I just hit a nerve in this person's life? Did I touch on something that they hold so dear that they can't quite laugh about it? And, you know, there's always, I have people I go to say, hey, is this joke too mean? Is this joke too much on the edge? Right. And you're always going to walk that line, and we're not always going to judge correctly. That's the thing. It's a trial and error medium, but the error is very public, and often there is backlash.
Sure. And, you know, it's interesting right now in the greater world of comedy, there is increasing backlash against things that people would say, whether it was appropriate or not. I'm just saying everyone is judged. There's more scrutiny right now on what is being said, how it's being said, what's being spoken about. Has that affected you as a Christian comedian? I mean, obviously you have these different set of standards as a believer, and you know, you have your relationship with God, and you know, obviously, you know, wanting to reflect the truth of God's word. Thankfully, God has a sense of humor, and he gave it to us. So, you know, there's this mixture of all these things. But I'm just wondering, is with what's going on in the culture as a whole right now, has that affected you as a Christian comedian?
Yes, it has. And the way it affects us most is that there's this cultural trend right now where we believe we have the right to never be offended or have the right to never have our opinions challenged. Uh-huh. And that's kind of across the board. So it's now, I think, tolerance has shifted from we can disagree and disagree very strongly, and at the end of the day, still acknowledge the other is a human being. If you're both Christians, human beings made in the image of God, you can at least understand you both have that in common, and still disagree. But now, if you disagree, it's put almost on the level of hating that person.
Wow.
So it's walking that line. And my personal approach is I always try to approach it with as much grace as possible. If somebody does get upset or angry over a joke, I try my best not. The first reaction is defensiveness. That's just my gut instinct is to get defensive. But I try to give 24 hours before I answer any emails or respond to anything like that, just to say like, okay, they're a human being. They're going to have as many hurts and struggles as the next person. Without feeling like I need to please everybody, I'm like, what is the right response to this person? And sometimes it's nothing. Sometimes it's, hey, I'm sorry you were offended. Or, hey, we're going to disagree that this is an appropriate joke. Or at the end of the day, sometimes not every response or not every reaction calls for a response. It's learning discernment in those three things.
Sure. Now, your book, you're targeting a millennial generation, which, just in case, you know, any of our listeners have lost track, millennials are now mostly in their 30s. I mean, the generation, you know, keeps getting older. Gen Zs are now what we would, you know, more be calling young adult, you know, high school age. But the accusation against millennials as being snowflakes, being thin-skinned, you actually wrote an article. It's going to be published here in a few days here at Charisma, where I thought you did a brilliant analysis of describing the millennial generation as those who were told the world is your oyster, go dream, anything is possible. I mean, and there's truth, there's aspects of truth to this, but you basically summarize saying it created a false view of the world, where you specifically said we were conditioned to think that life was mostly awesome with some difficulties, whereas the reality is life is actually a lot of difficulties and there's awesome things that take place in it. Can you talk to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I noticed a trend from being on the road, and I noticed that I kept getting a question over and over from people my age and younger, because the book, while targeted toward millennials, also is for the younger Gen Z, just so they can have a realistic expectation of this thing we call adulting. But I kept getting a question of, when did you know comedy was your calling? And the funny thing is, I still don't feel like stand-up comedy is my calling. I feel like it's something I started to do because I felt called to write.
Wow.
And stand-up comedy is kind of what took off. So, but because I'm on the stage and because they view me on this kind of platform that comes with when being in front of an audience, they assume that this must be my heart's desire.
Wow.
And so I would generally follow it up with saying, well, I don't know that it's my long-term comedy. I actually love writing and teaching are my ultimate callings, I think, as far as what I feel most fulfilled doing, but that has not been what God has blessed. And there's almost this sigh of relief almost every time. They're like, wow, okay, because I feel like everybody around me has found this big, fulfilling calling, and I'm the only one stuck going, my life is boring. It's the same thing over and over. It's not epic. And my spiritual leaders, when I was growing up, said to dream big things for God and that I was set aside to do great and amazing, unique things for Him. And I'm wiping my kids' nose 50 times in an hour, or they're stuck in a job where they just show up in a cubicle every day and put out the same fires. And so we had this idea that if my life doesn't feel fulfilling every moment of every day, I'm somehow letting down God, myself, and the world. And I don't know that that was the intended message, but I think after a lifetime of things being generally easy, having the luxury, I guess I could say, for a lot of us, like I got to do activities that cater to my talents. So I felt like I was succeeding because my parents let me pick things that I wanted to do and was a little bit good at. So I wasn't constantly struggling in something that I felt like I was never going to be good at. So it gave me this idea that, okay, I am, life is setting me up to succeed. And then we get to adulthood and we're like, man, I just don't know what to do to make my life feel like it's going somewhere or to capture those feelings of fulfillment. And so we feel like we're failing. When the reality is that often those feelings of fulfillment come, but it's after years of perseverance and it's after years of obeying God and the little things mm-hmm. every single day, we don't see the fruit right away. So when you're in your, I actually talked to a girl after a show on a Sunday about this. She's about to go into college and she's just like, I'm anxious and my life is it's terrifying, basically, this next transition. I don't know what I'm going to do, what I'm doing. And so I told her, I was like, you're in the seed sowing stage, which is like tilling the soil, which means like hacking it up. You're putting manure down, basically. You're putting down all the compost, which is not a pretty thing. If you've ever been around a compost pile, it's like smelly and there's flies everywhere. So like, it's not a beautiful stage of life, if we're honest, even though you have youth on your side. It's a confusing and kind of messy time because you've seen no fruit yet. So you're tilling the soil, then you're planting the seeds. watering them, taking care of the plants through your 20s. And then I think in your 30s and 40s is where you start seeing the fruit. But at 18, 19, 20, 21, you haven't seen the track record of God's faithfulness yet in your life because those seeds are still being planted. So like at 36 years old, I'm just now seeing payoff from things that I started doing in my 20s. And so there's a lot of anxiety at that time because you just haven't lived enough to see that fruit of God's faithfulness.
So there's this dual reality that I'm hearing from you where you're saying, well, listen, growing up in church as a millennial, there was a very popular teaching. And we could go into it. It would be a much longer interview as far as why that happened. You know, what exactly was going on? Did everyone get a bulletin and say, tell the kids they can do anything? But I would guess there actually are some very clear factors. We weren't in a major war. The economy was doing pretty great, you know, so on and so forth. But then there's this other side of it where our celebrity culture, we can identify Justin Bieber, Mark Zuckerberg, or even Christian, right? Christian celebrities. I know we're not supposed to have those, but, you know, Christian celebrities that hit it big, but they are the exception, not the rule. But because media can be so loud, it really sets us up, doesn't it, to make young people entering into the world going, man, I need to be a success like tomorrow, and I need to change the world, or maybe I'm not actually being successful. Would you agree with me?
I agree 100%. I think every single condition or circumstance you just laid out has contributed to the mindset we now have today, because we didn't have any major wars. We didn't have a pandemic. We didn't have anything crazy. So we could go out and kind of pursue our dreams. And many of our parents who were encouraged by their parents to get a good, secure job because they came out of the Depression and that was scarce. So to them, that was what made a life successful, was having a good, secure job and a pension. So our parents went that route, but they didn't find a lot of joy and meaning. So now with us, the pendulum has swung the other way. So they're now thinking, okay, if you can find joy and meaning in your work, you'll avoid the heartaches that we have. So now it's funny that we are seeking to find joy and meaning in our work, and we're discovering a whole new set of heartaches. It's almost like the perfect job isn't the solution to what we're looking for.
Amazing. And again, when you and I originally spoke about doing this interview, I was genuinely struck by your insights into some of these factors that went into the millennial generation. I do wonder how much it's changed with Gen Z. Obviously, as you have things like the housing crisis, the Great Recession, you know, right now COVID is deeply affecting the Gen Z generation. So it'll be interesting to see how that generation responds as they enter the workplace. I do want to encourage our listeners to, again, check out your book, Adulting for Jesus, a book about purpose, trusting God, and obviously burritos. But before we close our interview, and I know we're getting close, you talked about calling, this idea of calling, which is incredible and powerful. One of the other things you talk about is serving. I'd be interested in knowing, what is your advice for adults in the area of serving in the world around them?
That's a good question. I would advise them to look for where there's need in their area. If they have a really strong desire or skill set that fits in an area of need, I would channel it that way. So like if you're, we can use church for an example. If you are really good at kind of engineering and you love sound systems and you love making sure that it's all set, then go see if there's a need there. But if that's all filled and the need is with the three-year-old in the nursery, be willing to fill that need, because you never know what you might discover or who you might appreciate more on the other end. So for sure, look for things that fit your skill, because a lot of times there are needs that God has uniquely equipped people for. And you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater with the calling. Like, God has given us unique gifts and put us in our neighborhoods and families and churches uniquely to make a difference. But that's not where we should place whether our life is successful, is whether or not we're able to, you know, rise to fame through that. But I would just start small and then go from there.
Amazing. Well, I love the interview, and I'd be interested in having you back to talk more through this, because I think these type of discussions were long overdue. A lot of times, even it was inside and out of the church, a lot of accusations have gotten hurled at millennials without a lot of constructive discussions about, okay, how did this happen? And where do we go from here? I'm so thankful, Kristen, that as you're serving the Lord, whether you're on the stage or writing books, you're looking to be a conduit of God's solutions and God's kingdom in the earth. And your book, Adulting for Jesus, a book about purpose, trusting God, and obviously burritos. What's the best place for our listeners? Because some of our listeners might want to buy the book, but they might want to buy it for their kids or a niece or a nephew. Where's the best place they can buy the book? And how can they follow you where you're, you know, performing and just to follow your work?
So my website is a good starting place. If you go to kristinweberonline.com, and that's KristinWeber, online traditional spelling.com. There's a link to my books. You can go to Amazon and just put in Adulting for Jesus, and it should come up. And there's also an audio version available. And my knowledge, I'm the only author who's gotten to include their own inter-chapter transitional accordion music. So if that doesn't make you want to buy the book, I don't know what will.
Perfect. Well, it was such a pleasure having this interview today, and just praying God's continued blessings upon you and your ministry and your work. And like I said, we hope we can have you back on the podcast at another time.
That would be great. Thank you so much for having me on and talking about this subject with me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, our privilege. Thanks so much for being here. Well, you've been listening to the Charisma News Podcast, one daily news story well told. We want to encourage you to make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And make sure to share the episode with your friends. It's the way to spread the word and have your friends experience the great content that you're enjoying. God bless.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.